If you have your Bible and you want to share the reading of the Word with me this morning, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 7. 1 Kings chapter 7. Going to begin reading this morning with the 13th verse. And I am going to be reading this morning from the God's Word translation. So your translation may read a little bit different than what I'm going to be reading, but the Bible says King Solomon had Hiram brought from Tyre. Hiram was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, his father a native of Tyre. And Hiram was skilled in bronze craftsmanship. Hiram was highly skilled, resourceful, and knowledgeable about all kinds of bronze craftsmanship. He came to King Solomon, and he did all of the bronze work upon the temple. And he made two bronze pillars, which was 27 feet high and 18 feet in circumference. These were no small objects. And he made two capitals of cast bronze to put on top of the pillars. And each capital was 7.5 feet high. He also made 7 rows of filigree and chains for each capital. And he made the pillars, and he made 2 rows of decorations around the filigree to cover the capitals which were above the pillars, or which sat on top of the pillars. And he made the capitals identical to each other. And they were in the shape, shape of a lily. 200 pomegranates in rows were directly above the bowl-shaped parts around the filigree of the capitals on both pillars. Now, my text. Hiram set up the pillars in the temple's entrance, and he set up the pillar on the right and named it Jochin. Then he set up the pillar on the left and named it Boaz. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask if you'll bow your heads and we'll pray and ask the Lord for his help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these that have come this morning. And Father, we just ask that you would add a blessing to the reading of your word today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would anoint me to be effective in ministering your word, to impart truth. Touch my mind, put your thoughts in my mind, your word in my mouth. Help me to speak as you would have me to speak. Let it fall upon ears that are touched of God to hear and to receive. Help us to understand the importance of pillars in the house of God. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would have your way. Let Christ be glorified. Let Christ be lifted up. Let the church be edified. Let your word come forth with liberty, clarity, simplicity, and power. Of my own self, I can do nothing. Touch me and bless me to be a blessing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone in agreement said amen. So I must confess to you this morning that when the Lord began to put this message on my heart, I thought to myself how many folks were going to be absent this morning, and I thought, man, I'd really like to preach this when we have a house full. But I'm telling you, this is what the Lord's led me to minister on this morning, and I want to talk about the importance of pillars in the house of God. Pillars in the house of God. I was sitting on the beach one morning over there while we were on vacation over on the Oregon coast, and the resort that we stayed at, and we typically stay at, it's about a five-story, six-story building, and in order to get down to the beach, you have to go down and you have to descend a flight of stairs about 15, 20 feet, and then you literally walk underneath the resort or the building. And as you're walking along the pathway and headed out to the beach and down to the water's edge there, you can look back and you can see the hotel, the resort, it's sitting on giant, massive pillars. From the top side, you never see them. There's no beauty in them. They're often overlooked. They're often unappreciated. But if the pillars were not there, it would not stand. And as I made my way down to the beach with a cup of coffee one morning, and I was just watching the seagulls, and there was a guy throwing bread off the top of the balcony up on one of the rooms, and the seagulls were all flocking around and trying to get fed, and I was just watching the water and the sun coming up over on the west side, and I'm looking out on the ocean there, or sun coming up on the east side, and I'm looking out over the west, and it was just really calm and really beautiful, and I was just thanking the Lord for, you know, his blessings and his goodness to us. And I began to kind of, you know, take a little stroll down the beach, and I turned back and looked at the resort, and I could see those pillars, and the Lord just began to speak to my heart about the importance of pillars in the house of God. And this morning I want to minister just a little bit about the importance of the pillars when it comes to the church. The Bible gives us several examples, amen, of the importance of pillars, both in a literal sense and also as a metaphor or in a symbolic sense, when the Bible talks about pillars of the faith. The text that we've read this morning takes us back to a time when King Solomon was raising the first temple that would be built there in the city of Jerusalem. If you were to read the chapter surrounding 1 Kings chapter 7, you would read that Solomon had completed the work upon his own house. And the Bible goes into great detail telling how that he constructed the house and how that it was built. And then it moves on, and then the Bible begins to talk about how that Solomon began to undertake building the temple of God. And if you read here in this seventh chapter, the Bible tells us and gives us great detail surrounding the work that was to be done. And this chapter in particular begins to tell us the time and the place of the construction and the dimensions and the description of each part of the construction is vividly described for us. It was to be a very beautiful and a very splendorous work. It would have been something for our eyes to behold with all of its ornamentation and all of the gold and the silver and the bronze and the scarlet purple and the beautiful robes or beautiful veils of blue and all of this crimson and all of these beautiful things coming together. It would have been a sight to behold. Solomon describes to us through the word, the Bible describes to us how that the cherubims were set in the Holy of Holies, and literally the cherubims, their wingspan, or angel-like creatures, their wingspan would span 15 feet wide each, and they would set side by side, and literally the wingspan of the both of them would cover 30 feet, and they were overlaid with pure gold. They were beautiful. What a beautiful thing to see. Literally spanning the width of the holy place, the veil, the blue, the scarlet, the purple. Amen. But what it is that I want you to notice this morning is the pillars. I read that part of the text because I want you to understand, amen, the importance of the pillars. They were massive. They were fixed upon a firm, solid foundation. And they were standing there strong and mighty in order to bear the weight of the temple. They were placed there in order that the temple might be built. There has to be pillars. There has to be, amen, pylons, if you will. There has to be something for the structure to stand upon. Look at the building that we are in this morning, and these large beams that run across the building hold up the roof. But look down the wall, and every single one of those places where that beam is set, there is a pillar holding the beam. If one of the beams were out of place, if one of the beams were to fail, if one of those pillars were to give way, there would be destruction. Anybody ever walk in the building since we've been here? Anybody ever walk in the building and go, wow, look at the pillars? Nope. They go unnoticed, sometimes unappreciated. But if they were not there, there would be devastation. There would be destruction. There would be ruin. This building would collapse. Pillars are important. These two massive pillars that were there in the temple, they would stand flanking the entrance of the temple. Amen. 27 feet high and 18 feet in circumference. Massive. They were overlaid with bronze, polished, pure bronze. And topping off each one of these massive pillars was a 7.5 feet ornate top that the Bible calls a capital. In other words, there was a pedestal thing, if you will, a capital or a cap put on the top of it. Amen. And it was made in such a fashion that it was filigree. Amen. And then there were pomegranates all around it designed. But their main purpose, they might have looked good, but their main purpose was to hold it up. Their main purpose was to give strength. 34 feet high altogether. 27 feet, add the 7.5, 34.5 feet high altogether. And if you read here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 7, and you also read in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, you would find out one distinctive thing that I want to point out to you this morning. And that is that you would discover, and what I desire for you to understand this morning is that Solomon gave each one of the pillars a name. He named them. And he didn't just name them half-heartedly, if you will, but he named them as a symbolic memorial to two very important men in the history of the nation of Israel. He named one pillar Boaz. How many of you remember who Boaz was? Boaz was the man who married Ruth. Boaz and Ruth had a son by the name of Obed. Obed had a son by the name of Jesse. And Jesse had a son by the name of David. Amen. I'm telling you, he named the pillar Boaz. In the Hebrew, Boaz means in him is strength. Amen. In him is strength. The second pillar was called Jochin. History shows that he was the head of the 21st division of the priests, and many believe that he ministered during the time of King David's reign, and that he would have been the first high priest to have, amen, been high priest in this temple. There are things that we do not know about him, but what is certain about him is that he was a man of integrity. He was a man of historical importance. He was a man that had a profound influence upon the nation of Israel. He was a man of commitment. He was a man of great faith. And he had a strong witness for God. And his name means he, God, establishes. So what does it mean? These two pillars served as a memorial every time the children of Israel went to the temple after it had been built. Every time they went up to the temple, every time they went up to the house of God, they were confronted and they were reminded to remember that their God was their source of strength. They were reminded to remember that it was by their God that they were established as a nation. Amen. They were to remember that He is their strength, and that by Him we are established. Amen. They were to be a memorial for men who had been prominent in the kingdom or in the nation of Israel. They were established as a nation by the will of God, and they were kept by the power of God. These two pillars represented strength and establishment. They were a testimony to others of God's strength and God's ability to establish. And they testified to the people every time that they went up into the temple. They testified that their God was present and that their God's hand would be upon them and that their God would keep them in all of their ways. But they were also there to memorialize two men that had been prominent in the nation of Israel, Joktan and Boaz. So we can see by our text this morning that pillars can be both a literal foundation and a support for a very literal building, but they can also be used metaphorically or symbolically to memorialize those that have stood strong in the faith, and a person who has been a main supporter, a main contributor to an institution or a movement. I think it's interesting that the Bible takes the specific time to tell us when the pillars came down. Now, why would that be important? Why would the Holy Spirit move for them to write that and tell us when the pillars were destroyed or when the pillars were removed? I find it interesting that the Holy Spirit speaks and He puts in the Holy Scripture at a specific reference, amen, where these magnificent pillars were no longer standing. You will find it in 2 Kings chapter 25. 2 Kings chapter 25, beginning with verse 8 and down through verse number 16. This is the context of those verses. Israel has backslidden and Israel has fallen into idolatry. And they are no longer serving the Lord fervently. And because of their idolatry and because of their backslidden ways, the Bible says that the glory of God had left the temple and God had removed His hand of protection and His presence was no longer in the temple. And He allowed the magnificent temple to be destroyed. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 25, the Bible tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar came into the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the city, burnt the temple with fire. And the Bible goes on to say that the great pillars of brass, the great pillars that had held the temple up, the beautiful, magnificent, 34 and a half feet high, 18 feet in circumference, that had magnificently held up the temple, were broken in pieces. And when the temple, amen, or when the pillars came down, the temple came down. When the pillars were destroyed, the temple fell. Everything was removed and hauled away to Babylon. The supporters of the pillars, without the support of the pillars of the temple, the temple could not stand. When the pillars fell, the temple fell. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit placed on my heart standing on that beach over in Oregon a week ago. Come with me over now to the New Testament. Go to Galatians chapter 2. And we'll read some scripture in chapter 2. Verse 8 and verse 9. Because this morning I want you to understand that in the Old Testament, pillars were named people. But in the New Testament, people are called pillars. Galatians chapter 2, verse 8. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, "For thee, he that wrought effectively in Peter," he's talking about the effectiveness of God working through the life of Peter, how God used Peter. "For he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision," or to the Jews, "the same God," Paul says, "was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." He's simply saying that God effectively used Peter to reach the Jewish people. And the same God that used Peter was working mightily in the life of the Apostle Paul in order to reach the Gentile people. And then he says, "And when James and Cephas," and Cephas is Peter, "and when James and Cephas and John," get this, "who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and to Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen," or the Gentile, "and that they would go unto the circumcision," or the Jew. In this passage of Scripture, let me give you some context. In this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is telling the Galatian church of his visit to the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, where the controversy of law and grace was laid to rest. At the Jerusalem council, Paul was saying, "When I got there, when I got to the Jerusalem church, there seemed to me that there were three men, Peter, James, John, who seemed to be pillars in the church." What does it mean when Paul calls Peter and James and John pillars? Paul is describing his meeting with the apostles in Jerusalem, and he is singling out these three. How many of you know Peter, James, and John weren't the only that were there? Amen. He was singling out these three. The others that were there, amen, in that apostolic group, they were all apostles. They were all godly leaders. But there were three in particular that Paul identified as pillars. Pillar, what does that mean? It didn't mean that they ran the show. It didn't mean that, amen, it was their way or the highway. It didn't mean that everything was done the way they wanted it to be done. It didn't mean that they had the last word on all matters. But what it did mean is it meant that they were men whose presence strengthened the church. They were men. It meant that it was that their faith encouraged others. It meant that it was by their knowledge or scripture, amen, a knowledge of the scripture, it gave others direction. It meant that, amen, by that their walk with God was looked upon as an example for all to follow. Their spiritual sensitivity, amen, was highly respected. It meant that while they did not run the show, their presence helped hold things together, and it kept the church moving in the right direction. Do you hear what I'm talking about? Pillars. It meant that those men that were there, they strengthened the congregation. They influenced the congregation. They helped keep things on the right path. Their knowledge of Scripture gave direction to others. Their example was looked upon, amen, as an example that was to be followed. Think about it this morning. If people are called pillars, then what does it mean to you and I? When someone is said to be a pillar in the congregation, it means that they are an example of strength. It means that they are an example of faith. It means that they are an example of stability. It means that they are an example of endurance. It means that they are a support and an example of integrity. I'm telling you this morning, we need pillars in the house of God. A pillar is someone who is reliable. A pillar is someone who is trustworthy. A pillar is someone that is steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? These are people who are solid and stable. They're not, the pillars are not Christian on Sunday and a heathen on Monday. They're steady. They're steadfast. Amen. They are today what they were yesterday, and they are today what they will be tomorrow. Amen. They're even. You hear what I'm talking about? They're there. They may go unappreciated. They may go unnoticed. But hey, without them, I'm here to tell you, the church will not reach its full potential. Pillars are constant. They're reliable, trustworthy, solid in character, stable and faithful. And above all, a pillar doesn't just stand, it stands for something. Hello? Amen? If it just stood there and nothing was around it, nothing on top of it, it would be pretty useless. It doesn't just stand. It stands for a purpose. It stands for a reason. It stands with a purpose in mind. It stands for the truth. It stands for what is right. It stands for the word of God. It stands for what is just and moral and right in the sight of the Lord. When Paul is speaking of these three men, he was saying that he recognized in their life that they had leadership qualities. He was saying that it was evident to him that they were steadfast, that they were unmovable in their relationship with God. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is looking for some folks that'll stand up and be counted and say, Lord, I want to be a pillar in the house of God. Without them, the church cannot stand. We need pillars. Not only do we need pillars, but we need to be a pillar. Somebody said, oh, that's wonderful. They are a pillar in the community. They are a pillar in the house of God. Amen. We don't just need pillars. We need to be a pillar. We can be a pillar in the house of the Lord. What does it mean? We need to be men and women who are spiritually strong. Men and women who are spiritually strong become pillars in the house of God. We need to be men and women of faith. Men and women of faith are pillars in the house of God. We need to be men and women who are established by God's word. Men and women of prayer. Men and women who are workers and laborers together to serve the body of Christ. Because men and women who have that kind of heart are pillars in the house of God. God, give us pillars. Every church is made up of a different variety of people who come from different varieties of backgrounds. But I'm here to tell you this morning that every church has to have pillars. Amen. Just because this morning, just because God has called me to preach and called me into ministry, and I hold a prominent position in the house of the Lord this morning, does not mean that I can do it on my own. Hello? And that's why God called you to come along and join this body. Every church has to have pillars. Amen. Pillars for different purposes. Pillars for different design. Pillars that hold different areas up. Amen. Pillars that hold up that side. Pillars that hold up this side. Pillars that hold up the middle. But thank God when everybody is standing in their place, the church and the structure is strong. Every church needs pillars. People who hold things together. People who keep ministries of the church going. How many of you notice? Amen. You know, we don't have as many classes for the little ones this morning as we normally do. You know why? Some of our teaching pillars are in McCall. And it shut down part of the children's ministry. Right? Amen. You hear what I'm talking about? People who are pillars will be there come hell, come high water. And I'm not talking about every time the door is open, you got to be there. I know that, you know, people need to get away and people need to enjoy vacation and people have responsibilities and sometimes work calls and sometimes duty requires us to be out of the house of the Lord. But what I'm talking about is when the things of the world become more important than the house of God, then something is wrong. Amen. We need pillars to be in the house of the Lord, faithful. Come hell, come high water, come what may, be in the house of the Lord, committed to God and committed to their church. People who can spot false doctrine. How many of you know that's a real important one in the day that we live in? We need individuals in the church that can spot false doctrine and spot false teachers and keep the church's spiritual direction upon solid ground. How many of you know we need people in the church that know how to encourage one another and know how to pray for one another? And without those kind of people in the house of the Lord, without those kind of people holding one another up and bracing one another up and being there to encourage and being there to uphold, amen, then things go undone. Pillars in the house of God. But beloved, when there are pillars in the house of God, there is strength and there is an establishment. There is Boaz and Jonathan. There is strength and there is an establishment. When there are pillars in the house of the Lord, then God, through His mighty Spirit, uses each one of us to stand in our place and hold up our end of the bargain, or hold up, amen, our position and our post. And then God, through His power and by His strength, amen, establishes His will for the church, establishes His will for the congregation, and establishes His will for the body of believers. But when the pillars fail and the pillars fall, then there is going to be spiritual ruin in the church. Pillars are the strength of the church. Many of you here right here this morning, and many who are gone from us today for different purposes, but I see pillars emerging from within the congregation. We have pillars that are faithful and pillars that hold up their position and their place. And I'm so grateful for that. Amen. I want you to know you are appreciated. And I want you to understand that we understand without you, we could not do what God has called us to do. But I see God raising up pillars from among us. When I stood on the beach there that day, I stood on the beach and turned back and looked at the resort and those massive pillars that hold up that 5-floor, 6-floor structure. And I thought to myself, there stand the foundation. We are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, thank God for some pillars, amen, who are willing to stand steadfast, who are willing to stand unmovable. Thank God for some pillars, amen, that are willing to be faithful, to give, to support, and thank God for some pillars that are willing to uphold their end of the deal in order for the church to have success for God. Let me remind you of a story found in the book of Judges. It's the story of Samson, and I won't go through the whole story. Many of you know it. He kept putting his head in the wrong place, the lap of Delilah. And finally, she cut off his hair. This great man of strength, this great man of power, a pillar, a judge for the nation of Israel. He delivered them from the Philistines over and over and over and over again. And yet when he lost his strength because he gave away his covenant with God, the Bible says that they plucked out his eyes. They put out his eyes. They cut his hair, put out his eyes, and they put him in a grinding mill. And day after day after day, there he grind. They just moved that wheel grinding grain. Until one day, they took him into the temple, a temple to a false god, Dagon. And Solomon said to the little lad, the Bible makes a point to tell us that a little lad led him into the temple. And Samson said to the lad, take me to the pillars of this temple. And let me lean upon them, as if he didn't have strength to stand. But Samson knew that if he could take out the pillars, he could take out the building. And the Bible says that the lad took him between the two pillars of that false temple to Dagon, their false god. And the Bible said that Samson laid his hands on the two pillars of that temple, and he prayed, and he said, God, let your strength return to me one last time, that I may be avenged for my eyesight, that I may be avenged upon my enemies. And the Bible said that God heard his prayer. And with a great and mighty shove, Samson pushed down those two pillars. And when the pillars fell, the Bible says that the whole temple of that false god came crashing down. And the Bible said that Samson killed more individuals in the end of his life than he did all the days of his life. How did he do it? He knocked out the pillars. He knocked out the pillars. Amen. I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons why the enemy has just put a target on your back is because you are a pillar. He's trying to knock you out. He knows if he can knock out the pillars, it will affect the rest of us. It will have a profound effect upon the ministry of Elevation Worship Center. Amen. We need pillars in the house of God. I close this morning with this question. Are you a pillar? Do you desire to be a pillar in the house of God? Would you be considered a pillar in the body of Christ? Would people consider you to be a pillar, a testimony, a memorial of steadfast faithfulness unto God? Would your lifestyle and by your habits and your attitude and your words and by your influence, would you be considered a pillar? Are you a pillar? Are you steadfast? Are you stable? Are you unmovable? Your faith in Christ, unshakable? Because God is searching for some pillars this morning. God is desiring to raise up some pillars in the house of God. Amen. God is desiring to raise up some pillars in the house of God. If you don't feel like you are a pillar, or maybe you look around and you admire someone else's life and someone else's walk, and you think to yourself, that can't be me, or I wish I could measure up to that. Listen, amen, we're not trying to measure up to one another. We're trying to grow up in Christ and be more like him. And the more we become like him, the more stable and the more steadfast and the more reliable of character we become. It's not about measuring up to others. It's just simply about submitting to the will of God and allowing God to grow us up to be a witness and a testimony and a memorial to his covenant of grace. I encourage you this morning, desire to be a pillar in the house of God. Pillars are needed in the house of the Lord. And without them, the church becomes ineffective and unable to fulfill its divine purpose. But where there are pillars, there are strength, and there is an establishment of God's will. I desire to be a pillar in the house of the Lord this morning. I desire to be a pillar, a witness of his grace, a witness of his glory. I desire to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding to good, always abounding to that which is right, desiring to know more of his word and to live a closer, more consecrated, and more dedicated life. Amen. That should be our heart's cry this morning. Bow your heads all over the building this morning, if you would. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Pillars in the house of God. Pillars are needed. Without pillars, the work cannot stand. Without pillars, there is destruction and decay. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I have endeavored to minister what you placed upon my heart and what I have studied and what I have tried to prepare to bring to this, your people, who will listen not only here but by way of the internet. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would stir our heart, that you would touch our heart. I see you are moving in the hearts of some in our congregation and raising them up to be pillars in our body. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the pillars in our church that exist now, who are steadfast and unmovable, and they are trustworthy and reliable. Father, we are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and it is our desire to uphold your work and uphold your testimony of grace and power. Bless each one, I pray, this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would stir our hearts to understand that we can be a pillar in the house of God, that our testimony can be a memorial to someone who's looking on, that by our presence and by our understanding of your word and by our walk with you, we can encourage others. Minister to those that are around about us and lend support and help. And I pray finally, Lord, that you would give us all a desire to be a pillar of strength, not in our might, not by our power, but a pillar of strength that only comes through the Holy Spirit, a pillar of strength that only comes through the Lord. Give us a desire, Lord, to have an establishment of your will on this earth as it is in heaven. Touch hearts, touch lives. Let the word sink into our spirit. Challenge us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. How many of you here this morning would we be willing to just slip up your hand, not to Pastor Gary, my eyes are closed, but just slip up your hand to the Lord and say, God, help me be a pillar. Help me be a pillar in the house of God. Help me lend support where support is needed. Help me labor and be faithful and trustworthy and accountable. I want to be a pillar in the house of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you have seen every hand this morning. Go ahead and stand to your feet, if you would, please. Father, you have seen every hand lifted here this morning. God, you have seen every heart that hungers and desires to be a work, a support for your kingdom. Help us to understand that we can lend that support in many ways. Grant unto us, Lord, the heart's desire. Raise us up as pillars in the house of God to support and to uphold the work of your kingdom. Father, thank you for touching our hearts and making us to understand the need and the necessity for pillars in your house. I pray this morning, Lord, as we are dismissed, that you will bless each one. Lord, that you will let your power and your spirit rest upon every heart. Be with those who are traveling today, coming down from a call. Be with those, I pray, who are traveling on the highways on vacation and on their way back to Emmett from California, and those that are moving today and out. All of those who are apart of us but are not here with us today, bless them, strengthen them, touch them right now, Lord, by your spirit. Minister to their heart. I pray, Lord, you would keep your hand upon everyone throughout the remainder of this next week, that you would watch over us, and that when needs arise in our life, whether they are emotional, spiritual, physical, financial, whatever they are, when needs arise in our life this week, that you will minister to that need. You are our sufficiency. minister to the needs of your people, I pray. There is no shortage in you, God. And therefore, we rejoice and we look to you to open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing and satisfy the needs of our life. I pray, Father, that you would use us for your glory this week, that somewhere, somehow, some way, you would allow us the opportunity to minister Jesus Christ to someone else. That you would give us an opportunity to reveal love, and that you would give us an opportunity to let the love of the Holy Spirit just shed abroad in our heart and just spill over from our life into the lives of others. As we go our separate ways, Lord, go with us. Bring us back at the appointed time, shouting your praise. And we will give you thanks for it. We will give you the praise for it. And we ask it in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. God richly, richly bless you this morning. Appreciate having each one of you here. Amen. Go your way, rejoicing in the Lord, and we will see you next week.